You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
This episode of Getting Grown is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. Win or lose, every little league team still ends up at McDonald's after the game, and you can always depend on McDonald's Wi-Fi when you need it. Plus, everyone's been to a McDonald's birthday party at some point in their life. There's even a good chance you or someone you know got your first job at McDonald's. And we all know it's the pit stop destination you can rely on during road trips. If you drive up to a McDonald's on a Thursday evening and it's especially busy, it might be bingo night. I'm loving
love it.
This is Uncomfortable as a podcast from Marketplace about life and how money messes with it. Join host Rima Craze for a new season diving into money secrets, big and small. We all have money secrets. Some are private, the kind of secret that stays in the family. And then there are big societal secrets that dictate our day-to-day existence in ways that we don't even realize. Subscribe to This is Uncomfortable wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes out now.
Every day we used to slip away to talk. We would talk about the goodness of your heart. Now it seems that that it never exists at all, and it leaves me feeling empty. With this hollow chord, make it like it was, the way it used to be, when I hungered for your touch, constantly. Make it like it was. It was easier for me. I know you're able to make it like it was.
Regina Bell, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Regina Bell.
Regina Bell. Oh, yes. Did I do it justice?
Regina Bell got saved. She found the Lord.
Oh, did she?
Yes.
She became she wasn't like too far off. No, she wasn't making like whole music.
No.
She wasn't making Martin Luther King music.
You just had... You were looking for the opportunity.
I was. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my goodness.
I, controversial yet brave... Martin Luther King was a hoe.
Oh, okay? My God.
And we don't say it enough.
Okay.
And as Kia said, two things can be true at one time. He can be a leader, but he was also a hoe.
Okay.
But see, Regina Bell wasn't making hoe music. But I didn't even know she got saved like that.
Yeah, she has made some gospel albums and has been working with several gospel artists. I remember I saw her the last time I saw Regina Bell, though. She was at the Anita Baker concert.
Oh.
Yes, down to the Merriweather.
That's worldly of her. Okay.
Oh, girl, don't yes. Do that. I'm not saying that she stopped singing R&B.
Wait, you saw Anita Baker twice?
I did. I saw her in D.C. when she came to DC, and then I saw her with you guys in New York as well.
I didn't know you went in DC as well. So who were the special guests in DC? Because here in the New York of City, Emily King got her pink ass up on stage and didn't know the goddamn lyrics, and Alicia Keys just got up there being Alicia Keys.
It was interesting. It was Regina Bell was there.
She sang.
Rochelle Farrell was there. Yes, she did. Woo! Love she Rochelle always Farrell. Got on Miss Seeley's pants and Miss Seeley's glasses.
She's me. I
said, wait a second. Rochelle was out there making all that noise.
Okay. XD hates her. He says she sounds like a barred animal. Can't stand it.
Making all that noise. God bless you, Rochelle. We love you.
I love her so much.
Child, she was out there. She had on some wide rim glasses and some Miss Seeley's pants. We love her.
Nothing has ever felt.
Let me look it up because I think like I'm trying to think. They sung a song together, Regina and Anita Baker.
Well, while you continue to look for it, I'm going to sing Rochelle Farrell and Will Downing. Nothing has ever meant the whole.
All right. Oh, yes, it was You Bring Me Joy. You bring me joy down. So Regina told this awesome story about how, like, she, like, auditioned for, like, her first, I don't know if it was, like, I think it was a demo. She made a demo of You Bring Me Joy, and it, like, led her to one of her first record deals. And so she came out.
That makes so much sense for her voice.
Yes. And she came out and was talking about how Anita Baker, like, changed her life. It was a beautiful moment. It was a beautiful moment. It was so good. It was so
I'm jealous that you got Regina Bell and Rochelle Farrell, and I got Emily King and fucking Alicia Keys.
Listen, I was there. You act like I wasn't there for Emily King.
I know,
and Alicia
Keys. But you see, but that was just like a little taste. You got a little extra.
First of all, we didn't even get Alicia Keys because she didn't even sing. Thanks,
oh yeah, you're right.
God.
She got up there doing.
She got up there.
I don't know. I think I'd rather hear her hollering than Emily King up there and sound meep.
No, like, Emily King nothing. Didn't sing because she didn't know the words to
she didn't
Angel.
Know the words.
What a disaster!
Angel.
Yes, and then Alicia Keys was out there trying to New York us to death, girl.
I don't. I.
Yeah, she was out there with no eyebrows on, but.
And no bronzer.
Everybody's entitled to their choices.
You know, which we'll talk about at the kitchen table. How are you doing, sis?
I am safe and I have everything that I need. I don't have any complaints. I'm grateful. How are you?
I'm also safe, thank God, and have what I need. And, you know, we ramping up, but it's all right. Everything is good. It's just a busy season, and that's all right. Harvesting time, but we have some trash to get into. So, did you have a good holiday? You had a good holiday?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. You?
Okay, good. Yes, I will talk about my holiday a little bit more in the petty peeves.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, it was a good holiday. But let's get into some of this trash, shall we?
Okay.
Okay. A clean up woman. All right, it's time for the trash, and we're gonna try to keep it a little short this week. So first and foremost, Ari Lennox had some trouble in Amsterdam recently in the
is
past couple of days. I believe that she's back and she's safe is what is the last report that I saw. But she was racially profiled in Amsterdam at the airport. There was a lady, and she said that she was very nasty to her. They tried to claim that she was drunk and being disorderly. But we already know how this type of thing works and the narrative that they will build against you in order to, support their own. So we're just glad that she's safe and that, you know, it didn't escalate further than what it did. It should have never gotten to the point that it did, but we are glad that she's safe. It's just trash.
Yeah. I hate to
it just
hear
that. Lives at hate just lives everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, it
and
is.
Blackness is a global thing. Okay? It's not
It is. And even with, you know, the three white men who
you know, who were recently convicted or finally found guilty mm-hmm. of the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. It's just, even with moments like that, it's like, but he should not have been killed in the first place. For and sure. It still continues to live and thrive mm-hmm. and harm, you know, so in different levels. So that's unfortunate. Also, rest in peace to Virgil Abloh.
Yo.
That was really, really shocking news. Very he's passed so. Away due to a rare form of cancer that he's been battling since 2019. And I know, you know, the internet had many jokes and the two Virgils and all of those things. But ultimately, it seems as those who he had close relationship with said that he was a beautiful person inside. And, you know, we just want to send love to his friends and his family who Absolutely. Are dealing with the loss of him physically. That's just really sad. It's really, really sad.
Puts things what in else perspective, do we have? Because people here? Be dealing with like real life things, and
they do.
You just never
they
do, know.
And you never know what people right. are dealing with. Because the same thing with Chadwick Boseman,
exactly.
You know, and not that we're entitled to know what's going on with it, but you just still don't know yeah. what's going on with people. So that's why we got to try to exercise some sort of grace as a human, compassion, you know, just humankind,
decency, yeah, and compassion, respect, mm-hmm. courtesy. These things are very important, critical even.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, lastly on the trash, because I've told you I'm keeping it short this week, Ebro is in the news for making fun of, I shouldn't say it the way that I usually do because of this story, Tinashe's name. Did you hear about this?
Yes. He said mm-hmm. that her name was Ghetto.
Yep.
And yeah. I just think that it's fascinating that someone named Ebro would Who, have
We don't know. Is he black or is he not black?
I feel like I thought that he was biracial of some, like some, you know, of mixed race somehow, some way.
Yeah, he give me one of them
vibes. But I don't know for sure. Let me see. His last name is Darden, right? Let's see.
I think so. Yeah. Like Christopher. Ha! Look who you share last.
He says
with.
That it was Ebro's just a goofy. Terrible joke. I mean, he says it was just a terrible, terrible joke. And he acknowledged
But that's
it
the
wasn't.
Joke, though. Like, it's not even funny. It's not even funny. You just said the girl's name is Ghetto. That's not a joke. That's a statement.
Well, Ebro is a place. in Spain.
Okay. It is, so is he half Spanish?
It is a river of the north and northeast of the Iberian Peninsula in Spain.
It's also a man with a large river. Head and a white mother's name who hosts a show on the Hot 97.
Ebro Darden. Let's see what his... it comes up. Nationality. The girls have been Googling.
Okay, they sure have.
yes, he has a black father and a white Jewish mother.
I knew it.
He said he attended a Pentecostal church and a Hebrew school while growing up in Oakland and Sacramento, California.
Well.
So, you know, Ebro. Okay. So he had commentary about Sinashe's name. And he said that it was very ghetto. And I don't know why, you know. Okay.
Right.
Like that was, I mean, if that was the joke, it was a bad one. Cause I'm like, is that the punchline? Okay. So either way.
Wasn't even funny.
But yeah, his
At
name
least make
is,
this shit
oh
funny.
Wait, okay, so his real name is Ibrahim.
Yeah, he's,
Jamil Darden.
Okay, so I know his mother was responsible for the first name.
Ibrahim.
Father, definitely responsible for the second.
Yes.
Ibrahim Jamil.
Ibrahim Jamil. Yes. Mm. And he hosts that morning show with that Rosenberg boy.
Mm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Man, I guess I should call him a man. But yes, this is it. And I mean, okay. Like, I mean, Ebro has said inappropriate, inflammatory things in the past. So this is not
multiple times
really news. It's like, okay.
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 So, again, still, when you make jokes, nigga, make them funny.
His Wikipedia says that his education ended at that Hebrew school.
I'm sorry.
It literally says education, Hebrew school.
I'm okay, sorry.
That's interesting.
So was this like a K through 12 situation or?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Ibrahim, you should.
Ibrahim Jamil.
We should
let Tinashe know that his name is Ibrahim Jamil. We should just put that out there into the ether. I'm sure she's done her Googles.
She's not the girl who sings nigga. No, that's Kaylani. That's the one. Right.
She took it well, but she was just like,
you know, on the chin. She takes it on the chin.
She was just like, okay. You gonna talk about my name in my face? That's cool. Cool.
Right, Ebro. With your no neck ass. That's it for the trash. We're gonna leave it at that. We're gonna leave it at that. And we're gonna move right on to this shout out because we are very excited about it. So shall we move that way?
Yeah, let's do it.
My sis is popping right now, like.
All
right,
it's time to shout out a sis.
Shout out
that we both love on this show.
Deep, deep down in our hearts.
Jasmina Sullivan.
We love her. I mean the talent.
So much.
The sheer sister.
Your fave face.
Talent. I mean,
let me tell you something.
I mean, it is unmatched.
She sings from her toenail clippings.
Recklessly talented. I mean, it is.
Recklessly.
It is almost upsetting. Almost upsettingly talented. I mean, the talent is out off the charts. But yes, Jasmine Sullivan. Last night, down to the Soul Train Awards, I think walked away with the Soul Train Award for Best Album.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave
Hotels.
For Hotels. And she gave a very compelling speech where she...
It was so simple and relatable. I'm sorry.
No. She was just so honest and vulnerable about her... you know, just her struggles and the things that we all sort of deal with. And it was such a powerful moment because we all know that Jasmine has been snubbed. Let's just call things around here.
For many
years, Jasmine has not received her flowers.
She has not
received her flowers. And so we want to acknowledge the Soul Train Awards for acknowledging this mammoth talent.
Yeah.
And it was a full circle moment because if we remember back, if you haven't seen this, you've been living underneath a rock. But if you go back into Jasmine Sullivan's performance on the Apollo, on Showtime at the Apollo when she was just a wee little bitty girl.
Yep. With a big voice.
With a very large voice, very big grown voice.
Yes.
To see that like sort of full circle moment of her standing on that same stage to accept the Soul Train Award for Best Album was just like, wow. We love to see a show. Shout out to Jasmine Sullivan. You've earned it. We celebrate you. We're happy for you. We're proud of you. Thank you for representing us and just being dope, man. We stand.
Yeah.
Now.
We stand. And she really just provided a beautiful example for people who, you know, might be feeling scared to show up, you know, because of just various things they're battling with. And I just thought it was just so beautiful. It was just so beautiful. And I'm not just saying that because I love her. It was really they zoomed it on Maxwell's face. You could see him.
Everyone was in the audience showing all of their teeth, just proud.
Was like, yes,
we're nothing but
talk,
proud.
Jasmine. Just talk, keep talking, boo. They didn't play no roll it up, set it,
nothing
music for her. They just let her talk, and we're proud. We're proud,
we
so we want to make her
proud of Jasmine.
Our shout out, yes.
Okay,
effortless runs, nigga.
Oh, and you just
don't
tackled them.
Don't want to do this
you
no
just
more.
Body.
Yeah.
Yo, Jay is in here doing these Jasmine Sullivan rings, and y'all just really need to be a part of this. I want to shout out Dee Dee. I'm going to tell our friend Dee Dee. She looks forward to Jay's vocal stylings each week. And you just until I tell Dee Dee that Jay, not once but twice, tackled that maybe Jasmine three Sullivan times. Run.
I did it for her on the phone, actually.
Did you?
I did it for her on the phone.
Now, I hope you got it right, because this is the run that Jasmine did the tutorial down to the Instagram and told us all how to do
it. She said, now listen to this. Okay. She said, you have to just say, you don't want to do this no more. And she had that rasp to it, too. Thank you. I did it for her on the sidewalk when we was walking down the street. Me and Antoinette was on the phone with her. She said, sing, Jay! Sing. Thank you. Because, you know, I hit that run, nigga. So.
You hit it. I don't know with what, but you did hit it.
A baseball bat. Let's move on to this kitchen table, shall we?
Let's do it.
Your face.
We're all looking for the same things in life, beloveds. Honey, history books that actually report the truth. A new Rihanna album because she's playing in our faces as much as we love her. And skincare products that offer clinically proven hydration and leave your skin with a healthy, non-greasy, youthful, glowing finish. I certainly can't help you with the first two. But Neutrogena, a dermatologist recommended brand, has the skincare goals covered with their Hydro Boost facial care line. Honey, the line's Hydro Boost gel cream and the Night Press serum are both clinically proven to strengthen the skin's moisture barrier and lock in hydration for 48 hours. You'll get intense hydration thanks to both products' hyaluronic acid, which has an ability to bind to water and literally hold it within the skin surface. Neutrogena's Hydro Boost gel cream, baby, is gel and a cream in one, is made with glycerin that penetrates the skin 9 surface layers deep for longer lasting hydration. And Neutrogena's Night Press Serum will revitalize your skin overnight, letting you wake up to skin that's 3 times more hydrated. Made with purified hyaluronic acid and supercharged antioxidants, it's a pillow-proof formula that won't ruin your good sheets and blanket, honey, because it melts into your skin instantly. Both the gel cream and the Night Press Serum are oil-free, dye-free, and non-commodogenic. So you know around here on Getting Grown, we don't play with ash, honey. We keep ourselves moisturized on the inside and the outside because our blacks will absolutely crack if it's dry. What I love about the Neutrogena gel cream and the Night Press Serum is that both of them leave my skin so juicy and plump and moist, honey. I'm telling you, I put it on at night, wake up in the morning, it's as if I just put it on. And I mean, my skin is so good. Like, I could literally walk out the door. But I mean, you got to wash your face to get in the morning. But listen, you know what I'm saying. It's good stuff. You won't be sorry. The Neutrogena Hydro Boost line, it can be purchased at every major retailer. And you can start your hydration journey today at Neutrogena.com/Hydro Boost. That's Neutrogena.com/Hydro Boost. All right, guys, welcome back to the kitchen table. I'm here with a thought, right?
Yeah.
I want us to sort of trouble this thought, have some conversation around this thought, because I think that there is something here that we could sort of deal with. So just when you're in friendships or relationships with people, especially long-term ones, good friendships, there'll often be seasons and instances and things that come up. And you need to, or you may feel the urge or feel some sort of compulsion to give feedback, give information, give input to whomever you're in relationship with, whether it's friend, romantic partner, even professional relationship, things will come up and it will be like, okay, there's a difference of opinion, or I'm observing something that, you know, I feel like I need to speak up about. And so I'm just wondering if there are ways. So I think before we get to that, have there been instances, I'm sure I know the answer to this, but like in your life, Jade, so I want to have a conversation about giving critical feedback in friendships or in relationships. So thinking about what we consider when we make the decision whether to give somebody some feedback or mind our business. And if we choose to give someone some feedback or share our opinions with whomever we're in relationship with, are there things that we want to keep in mind to make sure that the exchange is a productive one? Because I have been... Yes, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, I did ask you a question.
No, you're fine. but I am curious to hear... It sounds like you had a little backstory, maybe.
Well, I was going to give you an example.
Question.
I did ask you a question, though. I just, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just sort of processing this all at one time.
No, I think this is what conversation is. Please proceed, and then I will answer your question.
So I've been thinking a lot about, like, in a friendship, when to mind my business. Because we say all the time, there's so much safety and peace and joy, and all the treasures of life are really found in minding your business. But there are things that need to be said, or there are times when your spirit is on your spirit, on your heart to share something with someone that you care about. And it's like, when you do have to do that, how do you go about it? Because I have been on both sides of this. I have been the recipient of feedback that was uncomfortable to hear, but in hindsight was useful and important, and I'm grateful that I did hear it. I've also been on the side of getting feedback that wasn't so nicely framed, right? And didn't necessarily lead to the most productive of exchanges. And so I've been thinking about, like, you know, this idea, since we're out here telling folks to mind their business all the time, you know, ideally, in an ideal situation, you want to mind your business, but there are some times when you just can't, when you care about somebody, when you care about somebody and you see something, you got to say something. And in those instances, what do you do? Have you been in an instance where you really cared about someone and you see them doing something or being a part of something or making a choice that has really just riled up something in you? And it's like, what do I do?
I seen somebody make some nasty choices.
To which I was an example.
You know,
so many.
Okay, let me see. How do I compartmentalize this conversation and then so that I can touch on each thing? All right. I think that there's useful advice, right? I think there's useful tips that if you love somebody and they love you, they know your intention and they are things that could help them. For instance, when I wore that peach lipstick and you told me I needed to use a liner.
I did.
That's not nasty, because Key is making sure that I'm not out here with my lips bleeding into the rest of my fucking face. You know what I'm saying? And like, she's like, bitch, it's like a big old peach on your face right now. You got to reel that thing in. And
I just want to be helpful,
right?
Right.
But it is. And it's something that can benefit me. So now every time I go to put on a lip, whenever that is, I make sure there is some sort of liner that goes along with it, or there is some definition in which it's like, okay, this color is too close to my, I need to make sure that there's some definition here, right? That was something that was useful and helpful. On the other side of things, I'll use myself as an example of why I shut my mouth. I had a homegirl, we had completely different fashion sense. She did not wear clothes that were complimentary of her body shape. But she was comfortable.
Right.
And confident and loved the way that she fucking looked. So who am I to tell her, so hey, just wanted to let you know, everything you wear looks terrible on you. That's what good does that do? That is the most useless bit of information. You should never go to somebody and tell them they need to revamp their whole fucking drawers, dresser, closet, chest, anything, because that's not useful. So I think that there are times in which we need to take a step back and say, how does, and then also this is the third point. How does this affect me?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I could love somebody and what they're doing right now is I may not agree with,
right.
But is it going to harm them? Let me ask myself that. Is it going to harm them? Is it harming them? Are they happy? And how is this affecting me?
Right.
And when I have a question to them three, I have an answer to them three questions, then I know that I need to, is it harming them? Okay, yes. Then I need to have a conversation.
Yeah.
It's like those little graphs that people be posting on Instagram where it's like, this answer leads to this.
Yeah.
So yes, is it harming them? We have a conversation. Is it harming them? No. Okay, so that all leads back to mind your motherfucking business because yeah. It's not useful.
So it's kind of
they
like
got boogers in their nose? Tell them.
Yes.
They got shit on the bottom of their shoe? Yes. But is it useful? I'm sorry, I rambled.
No, this is important because I'm glad that you're saying this, and I'm sorry that I struggled so hard to frame this because I want to be cautious about how I present it. So I'm sorry for all that rambling that I just did. But as you're talking, it's coming together for me in that this is not about not telling people to mind their business, but I think it's more like a checklist. Like these are the things you can mm-hmm. keep in mind for gauging when it's appropriate to mind your business and when it's not. And, you know, I think what you said that was so key is I feel like younger me was much more impulsive, right? And was much more sort of led by my reactions to things. And if I saw something that I didn't like, I was, you know, verbalize my opinion or express my opinion immediately.
Yeah.
But I think the
Ooh, girl, the eyeshadow's ugly. You like, look like Grimace.
I'm like, oh. but now I'm recognizing, I think maturity has helped me to be much more conscious of one, the fact that my opinion is mine and folks have the right to have a different one.
Yeah.
And even though it's my opinion, me keeping my mouth shut about it doesn't make it any less mine. Right? So like exactly. It can still right. be my opinion if I keep it to myself. But there
you
is.
I'm so sorry.
No, go.
It's just like your clothes could be ugly as fuck, but you are happy as a pig in
yes.
shit. And so who am I to come and say yes. anything about your clothes when you're perfectly fine with your yes. decisions?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No. Please continue. Think it is very important for us to sort of keep this in mind because I think this is how I maintain my peace. Trying to like, you know, even as I negotiate my relationships, right? Because when it comes down to sharing information with people who I'm in relationship with, I have to go through the process of thinking about, okay, if I say this, well, number one, what are the conditions? How do I know that I need to say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about this situation is causing me to react and feel like I need to say something? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be productive? Is it necessary? Like, is it worth it for me to say something?
Mm-hmm.
Is me saying something going to change anything one way or another? And having the honesty and humility to accept if that answer is no, right? So it's not like it's not about me. If I do I care about my opinion more than I care about this relationship? Do I care about my opinion more than I care about what's going to happen to this person's feelings if I say what I have to say in a certain kind of way? And I think all of these things, you know, I think are changes that I'm observing in myself. The older that I get, when I think about when I choose to engage in certain conversations and when I don't.
Right.
Because everything is not worth the fight. So I was giving Jay the example earlier on. So I remember when I was an undergrad and, you know, I was running around campus like a panicked undergraduate, probably with all kinds of deadlines and just trying to get to all of my different things and not really thinking about my appearance. I was running around campus one day and I had a friend who pulled me into her dorm room. I was kind of in the hallway on my way to my room. And she was like, girl, come in here for a second. I've been wanting to say something to you. And I had a good relationship with this person. So, you know, she seemed like serious. So I was like, okay, girl, what's up? And she got me in that room and closed the door turned around and told me to like put my hands up like this. Mm-hmm. And then she went into my shirt. and adjusted my bra straps.
Right.
Like she pulled them up. Mm-hmm. Yes. In the moment, I was mortified. Like, what the hell is happening?
I know you, so I know like, you were.
But she was just like, I don't really mean any harm, but I see you all the time, and this is how your titty's supposed to look. And I was like, okay. And she was like, I don't want you to get in your head. You weren't looking bad before, but I want you to look your best.
And that's this, useful and this helpful. This is how your titty's
supposed to look. And me being 17 years old, and literally not, because of course if I'm going out and thinking about this or that, but I'm literally sitting here like, oh girl, I'm just trying to get to class, and didn't really realize that, you know, taking the time to make sure that things were in order and doing things that I know to do is important. And I need to make the time to do that every day, not just when I have somewhere to go. And so that was a very important, I know I'm sitting here now, like,
I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm loose.
We home, but I need to be like, maybe I need to, but the point I'm trying to make, and a lot of times, you know, and I always have one, I mean, I'm making excuses. That's not what we're talking. The point I'm trying to make is there's a way to say something to someone that's constructive. Yes. Because conversely, I saw somebody's Instagram the other day, and had a reaction to the way that their clothes were fitting them. And I was sitting here thinking, like, why ain't nobody told this person X, Y, Z and blah, 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 blah. And was really going off and had to stop myself. Like, sis, that's a grown woman. She saw this picture. She posed for this picture. She looked at it. She looked at it and liked it and posted it. So it's good to her. And so what you need to do is mind your business. Like, what your opinions, you can have all of the opinions, but like in that moment, it was just like, girl, you getting all worked up about something that really don't have nothing to do with you. And if I was in a position to say something to that person, I could think of a way to do so in a way that was tactful and constructive, just like my friend did for me, I absolutely would. But just in that moment of me looking at their Instagram, now's not the time for me to reach out to someone who I have not seen or spoken to in a long time and just say, by the way, girl, that dress ain't it. Like, that's not...
Your clothes was ill-fitting and you looked a sloppy-ass mess.
But, I mean, I was proud of myself for seeing, having that reaction, but stopping myself from getting worked up or getting engaged. It was like, girl, you have other things that you could be focused on right now. Surely. Let that child wear what she want to wear. It's her business. And it really don't have nothing to do with you. So scroll on. And I felt like...
Scroll on.
I felt like, you know, wow, that is a difference. That, like, Kia 10 years ago might not have had that thought around... whether or not to say something, and if I was to say something, how do I say it? So I just, you know, as I was thinking about what we could talk about on the show today, I thought maybe, you know, there is a very complex dance around giving feedback or input or sharing your opinion. And some people have
you don't do it in front of a table full of people. Right. That ain't the time.
Right. Some people have hard and fast opinions. Some people have hard and fast policies around whether or not I'm going to get involved. And others of us are still, you know, I'm of the belief that it really does depend. And if
it's nuanced.
Right. It's very, and so I don't know. I just think in this age and time of social media where we are all just posting, and I say me because I do the same thing, all over the internet posting our unsolicited opinions just here and there and everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Because I talk about y'all's big, ugly white shoes all the time. And I'm still going to keep talking about them, but I'm not going to go up to somebody on the street. I'm still going to keep talking about them ugly ass shoes.
But it's important.
Those blocks on your, those dirty blocks on your feet. These white girls in these dirty ass uptowns, or these black uptowns looking like they belong in a pokey. But anyway,
It's just important, especially as we think about what this means for, you know, not like not blurring the lines of like social media absolutely. And real life. Right.
You shouldn't go up to somebody on the street and say, I hate your big, ugly, dirty ass white shoes. You could keep that you to yourself or on the internet. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Just like chat.
Right. But just no need to like go and tell the person specifically if it's not something that's going to benefit them, help them, if it's something that's not harming them and it's not affecting you. Then in that moment, complain like I do on your Twitter about them big fucking ugly shoes.
Write us a petty peeve and keep it pushing, girl. You got to keep your petty to yourself.
And that includes some of y'all's opinions. I'm going to be real honest with you because there's useful things, right? Our social media person hit me. It was like, I saw a message that I thought you might like. And the message was, I was pronouncing Igbo wrong, right? I was saying Igbo. And the G is silent. So I'm like, okay, I think that's a useful Igbo. I had somebody tell me before, like years ago, don't say gypsy in this way because it's offensive. Mm-hmm. Those are useful things, right? But something else is not like going on Lipstick Alley and saying that I talk like I got spit in my mouth. Maybe, you know what, that is the place for that. But don't put it in my DMs because I don't give a fuck. So is it useful? Is it harming you? Is it benefiting you? Is it harming me? Is it benefiting me? Let's ask all these questions before we go and give unsolicited opinion. But now Kia is one of my closest friends. If I see Kia's Spanx rolling down, I'm gonna walk up to Kia and I'm gonna hike her Spanx up and I'm gonna smooth her dress out. Absolutely. And I'm gonna continue on about my business and vice versa. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Like, absolutely. Girl, let me fix these pantyhose.
And
she's
I'm
gonna
not
do that to
finna
me.
Allow Jade or anybody who I care about to walk around in peach lipstick with just nothing to do. Like,
just saying.
That's not something that I'm ever going to do.
Because we love each other and these are beneficial, useful things to help. I have a big ass booger in my nose. I fully expect Kia to be like, hey bitch, we're about to film and you've got a nigga hanging out your nose. Thank you so much. Like,
it's
I appreciate
things.
You.
Little things are so important.
They are.
So important.
They are.
And I just wanted
it's all
us
common
to just,
sense, but common sense ain't common, Charlie.
And I mean, I just feel like in this age where everyone's comments are just on the ready, we have lots of comments all the time about many, many things. I think we often lose sight of when and how appropriate it is to sort of share these opinions with people who we are in proximity to. Or not.
Somebody said
in
they hate that I smoke.
To.
Do you smell it? Am I blowing it in your face? Why do you care about the ease that I bring myself while I record this show?
And I think it's
ask
important.
Ask yourself that.
Especially as we go into, we're in the holiday season. Mm-hmm. Many of us have to engage with family and friends that we don't often see. And family and friends can sometimes be the worst when it comes to unsolicited feedback.
Stop commenting on people's weight, and whether they lose it or gain it.
So, I mean, I think kind of to turn it on the honest ear, like kind of also to kind of present a multiple perspectives of this conversation around feedback. Are there ways that we can erect boundaries or stop people and let people know that their feedback is not useful, but again, still in a productive way? So like if you're their family or friend that see you and say things to you, what are things that I know that you do.
My favorite response is you know, every time you feel better. You feel better now that you got that off your chest. You feel smarter. You feel more enlightened, nigga. The fuck out of here. That is, I love asking people if they feel better now, because it just, they stop and realize how fucking dumb whatever it was that came out of their mouth was. You know what I'm saying? Do you feel better that you commented on my weight or you commented on my boots? They talked about my boots. Like, yes. Do you feel better? Did that make you, did that benefit your life? Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I'm telling you, I think I told y'all this before. Maybe it was Jade next day, and then I'll let Kia talk. You know, this little round lady told my mom one time, She was like, "Ooh, you putting on a little weight." And my mom said, "I'm just trying to catch up to you." Mm-hmm. And so I know, especially with these older Black members of our families, they love to talk about, they love to compliment you when you lose, and they love to make a little poke when you gain. Or they'll say shit when you leave, like, "Don't get fat." Okay, you too late for you. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, don't, you would so know.
I understand, right?
I appreciate that warning coming from you. Okay,
I fully, you know, believe in respecting our elders, but there's a we grown now. Yes. We grown, and I'm about to start setting some boundaries with you. You don't like it when I talk about you, Heifer. You don't like when I respond back to your ugly ass comment. So you got to start learning people. That's what I say. You got to learn them.
I agree. And I think that there's a way. And it's not, I don't even think you have to be disrespectful in doing it. It is definitely, but there's definitely a way to make people aware that their comments are both unrequested
and unnecessary.
Unnecessary. And so, mm-hmm. You know, people like to comment on things that don't concern them. One of the things that I like to do in response is to kind of repeat back what people say to you. Cause I don't even think a lot of times people recognize how reckless
they don't.
Their comments can be until they hear it back. So mm-hmm. I say it slowly, and I'll be looking you dead in your face. Now you said, and you asked me, okay, let me just be, all right, this is what you asked. You are asking me.
And let me tell you, nothing makes a nigga more uncomfortable than look at them dead in their face.
Yeah, I mean, while like, you talking okay. to them. All right. And I love, you know, a lot of people have comments around, you know, my timeline for marriage and starting a family. And so, you know, I've over the years, have collected a couple of ways to sort of put people back in their bag when they get to asking me questions. Well,
give us a taste. Give us a taste.
Like, you know, like, oh my goodness, like, you still not married? You're not married. I'm like, well, you know, y'all stop raising your sons, you know. I really, you know, it's not that much material out here. And it's just, it's not on me. It's above me. It's out of my hands. You know what I'm saying? I can only work
it's
with
above
what,
me now.
Say, I can only work with what I got. Okay. Y'all stop raising these sons. So it's really your responsibility. I ought to be asking you why I'm not married yet.
Oh.
Okay. Please. I mean, where your kids at?
Huh.
All right. In jail? Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. And you over here asking me.
So another ineligible nigga. Carry on with your life.
But you know, just like, it's just like, you know, there's just ways. There's just ways. I think you have to know. And I think what is key to sort of being able to sort of turn it back on them is to just not receive it. Like, you know, it's not, this is not something that, you know, you don't have to, you don't owe anyone any sort of explanation for any, especially some random question about your weight, your appearance, your relationship status, whether or not you have children, anything that is related to your person directly. You don't owe anyone any sort of explanation. You can hear feedback and receive it, but if you catch in your spirit that it's not given in the right spirit, then you can absolutely redirect, girl.
Like, absolutely.
I think that that's important. That's important skill. And so, I mean, you know, just I hope that anyone who might be struggling in that area will sort of, you know, take courage, literally find some courage and confidence in that fact that you are an adult, you are capable of making your own choices for your life. You don't have to answer to anybody, especially people who are not contributing to your life, livelihood, paying any bills, contributing anything useful. I don't know what prompted the conversation, but it just made me think, like, you know, I think a lot about when to speak, what to say. And so as we are in this time, and I'm really reflective as we're going out of this year, what are the things I'm noticing that I have done well, and what are the things I still need to work on? That was one of the things that came up. So I just thought I would bring it to the kitchen table, see if others had thoughts.
I think that's
reactions.
A very useful conversation. Thank you very much. Well, We have an honesty box to get to. So shall we head that direction?
I think we should.
Let's do it.
You haven't tried the McDonald's crispy chicken sandwich yet, girl. First of all, what's wrong with you? Secondly, you're missing out. The crispy, juicy, tender sandwich, honey, simply iconic. It comes in three different variations that are so delicious and tasty that I promise you, you're going to probably have a difficult time picking which one's going to be your favorite. Now, there's the crispy chicken sandwich, which comes on a buttered potato bun with crinkle cut pickles. Then you have the spicy crispy chicken sandwich, also served on a buttered potato bun with crinkle cut pickles. But it has a spicy pepper sauce for those of you who like a little kick. Last, but certainly not least, we have the deluxe crispy chicken sandwich, which comes on the same butter potato bun, this time with fresh cut lettuce, tomatoes, and mayonnaise. Now, I done told y'all last time that my cheat code is to add to that the hot mustard, and you are nothing but welcome. So, customers everywhere are loving the crispy chicken sandwich. As one said, if they don't offer you their leftover bites, are they even your husband? I would like to say, ain't no leftover bites, because the sandwich is just that good, girl. Okay, you are not going to be upset. Whatever your specialty, whatever your favorite is, whether it's the spicy crispy chicken sandwich, the regular crispy chicken sandwich, or the deluxe apartment in the sky crispy chicken sandwich, we're going to have some good crispy chicken. And it's going to be amazing. What you need to do is order ahead on the McDonald's app today, honey. Get your sandwich. Don't play.
Honestly, truly.
It is time for the honesty box. And our listener actually gave himself a pseudonym. Okay. He wants to be called Cruz.
Cruz.
So, Cruz.
Okay.
Cruz writes, "Hey, Jade and Kia.
Hey.
I love the show and listen every week. With that said, I am a black gay guy who is in his early 30s. Recently, I've started to experience resentment toward my parents, mainly my father, for how he's treated me my whole life, especially after I confirmed to him that I was gay. And notice I said confirmed at age 25. My dad did not disown or say anything hateful, but did stop talking to me for about 4 or 5 months. Though I knew this was wrong, I congratulated him for not being the typical, overtly homophobic black father. But now I am identifying resentment toward him for not being emotionally present in my life. Also, when I was diagnosed with HIV a couple of years ago, he again stopped talking to me and refused to recognize my being gay and positive. He even purposefully did not attend my party celebrating 1 year of health after being diagnosed. There seems to be a pattern of him choosing not to deal with me because I'm different from my brother, who's married with 2.5 kids and a fish." What's a half kid? "I focused on making myself more palatable by becoming a licensed psychotherapist and now earning a PhD to make him unashamed of me. However, he continues to have a very surface-level relationship with me, where we only talk about the weather and sports. How do I have this conversation with my father as an adult son and not as his therapist? It's clear he doesn't communicate and deal with things that make him uncomfortable. I fear that I will begin to exclude him from my life in future, i.e. my future wedding and children's lives, because of his refusal to quote-unquote deal with me. Thanks for your time. And also, P.S., a nigga passed his comprehensive exams in July and is now working on a proposal. The ghettos. Congratulations, Cruz." Aw, sugar. That's tough.
So, it's very difficult. I don't even know if I have... I think the first thing that comes to mind is I want to offer to you that... regardless of how your father has responded to these things as you've outlined them, you have done, I feel like you have done all that you can do. And I don't want you to sort of take responsibility for his actions or lack of actions. I think regardless of, you know, I think when we're in relationship with people and we're sort of processing a change or a transition, one thing that is helpful to me, has been helpful to me in keeping in mind, is, you know, everybody's entitled to sort of process information in their own time and however they need to. Mm-hmm. And so, I wouldn't want you to think that, I mean, I wouldn't want you to take response, like your dad's going to have to process and deal with this in his own way. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't want you to worry too far. I guess I'm saying I don't want you to get ahead of yourself and trying to think about how this is going to look next year, 5 years from mm-hmm. now, 10 years from now, mm-hmm. because, you know, all of that is sort of yet to be determined. If you feel resentment in your heart about these things, the only thing that you can do is let your father know, and it is still his choice about mm-hmm. how he wants to proceed. And I mean, it's your choice to determine what you need to do to keep yourself safe as he thinks about what he needs to do to keep himself safe. And if that does result in some separation, it's no fault of your own. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that you won't reconnect later on, but it's just, this is a period where the both of you are navigating a new dynamic in your relationship. And mm-hmm. I think everyone is going to need some time, and you can continue to do what you've been doing, is sort of continuing to be honest and articulating yourself where you are, where your needs are, and what your boundaries are. And then mm-hmm. everything else is out of your hands. That's really all that you can do, and just give yourself space and time to sort of take this as it comes, yeah. and not really figure out what you're going to do, because mm-hmm. what you do today may not be what you do tomorrow, may not be what you mm-hmm. do a month from now. So just sort of take mm-hmm. this as it comes versus trying to figure out how it's always going to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's difficult, you know what I'm saying? Because you can't control how he responds, reacts. And while somebody may say, oh, well, this is his loss, it's not. It feels like a loss for you, too. Otherwise, you wouldn't care so deeply about it. You know what I'm saying? In the sense of his attitude, how he's the time and all of that. I don't know if you've considered maybe writing him a letter. Just really taking time instead of a direct conversation initially, where emotions can become heightened, or sometimes we can get, you know, stumble on words or thoughts, things can get mixed up. Maybe you just really take some time to write a really intentional letter, articulating your thoughts, your feelings. You're able to be really intentional about it. And carry it from there. I agree with Kia that maybe not thinking so far down the line, you know, years or even months from now, maybe that's not the focus. Maybe we just focus on the right now. And so take a few moments to do that, and see if maybe that sparks him wanting to initiate some sort of conversation, or even open up a pathway for some sort of conversation. I don't know if you're close with your mom, or if she's in your life. I'm not sure. I don't want to be presumptuous, or what that type of dynamic is. Is there somebody within your family that you can sort of discuss these things with, who, you know, not necessarily might have insight, but even just be a sounding board within the family? I'm not sure. But I hope some of those things are helpful. And I know it's going to be hard, because this is what your career is, what you've been really putting your time into, right? So this is how you think now. This is like how you operate.
Yeah. But and you're on a therapist, human level, and you're being trained in this, but your dad isn't. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm not making excuses for him. That's why I think it's important for him to know how his actions are making you feel. But at the mm-hmm. same time, he may not have the tools to really process and understand this. And he just may be needing you know, time and space and information to do that and to figure out how to be there for you. So mm-hmm. I think you're doing all of the right things. It just may not seem like it because you're still in this place of dis-ease and discomfort. But I think if you allow that to sort of do its work and be open to that, then this may be transformative for the both of y'all.
Absolutely. We hope so. We hope that's how it... If I may, I know this is going to sound... Maybe it sounds a little trivial, but, you know, on Jaden XD, we've been covering 90 Day Fiancé the other way. And one of the storylines is Armando and Kenny, which are a gay couple living in Mexico. And Armando's father specifically did not support the relationship because he's uncomfortable. And Armando wanted him to come to his wedding. And his father was just kind of like, it wasn't like a blatant, like it sounds like your, where it's not a blatant, like in your face, homophobia slap. Mm-hmm. I'm not coming to your gay ass wedding. It's not like that. It was more like, well, I need to stay back and kind of like do this. And, you know, just kind of small talk and like, I can't really like, yeah. And Armando wrote a message to his father, a very in-depth message speaking on how he would support him if it was something that he didn't necessarily agree with out of love for this person and what this means to him. And, you know, he was just able to kind of like sit through his thoughts. That's what I find writing really does. And his father ends up driving up for the wedding. Now, we got some other issues coming because now he's talking about he don't want to see him kiss and all of that. But, child, we cross those bridges when we get to him. You're just going to have to see us kiss. You done drove 4 hours.
Right.
But I say all that to say there are baby steps. There's steps you can take, and then there's steps. There's patience that you have to have while he's hopefully taking his steps if he works to take those steps. Mm-hmm. Because you also don't have to put in a bunch of work for somebody who's not willing to meet you at all either. And that's a hard conversation, but that's a real one. So anyway, I don't want to babble too much. I feel like I've been rambling. I'm sorry. But I hope that's helpful, Cruz. And, you know, please continue. I feel like this is going to be a bit of a journey for you, right? So please continue to keep us updated. You know, we love you here Getting Grown. And
we do.
We support you. We want to come to the wedding shit. Down the line, we want to come to the wedding. You know what I'm saying? So you do have support elsewhere as well. And that's one thing to also keep in mind. And I know that's hard when it's somebody that's such a force in your life as a parent, especially a father of a black man. But, you know, you do have community, even if it's chosen community, that loves you and supports you. So I hope any or all of that has been helpful. Please continue to keep us updated, and please continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com.
Please do.
Shall we move on to our self-care?
Sure.
I deserve.
My self-care is really simple, but I had a conversation with my therapist about these last couple of weeks. I've noticed a slowdown in my productivity.
Okay.
Not just in the sense of, I think things are naturally sort of, you know, just the end of the year, closing things up, trying to get some things out. But I feel a slowdown in my sort of, you know, deliverables, what I'm and for a while I was really sort of being down on myself about that, and my therapist offered me some useful perspective that I've kind of been sort of holding on to, reminding myself in my journal. And this is another aside to my black woman self-care. I'm glad that fell out of my book. So I've been trying to, you know, as I'm sort of thinking through my thoughts.
Yes.
And, you know, she just reminded me to sort of sit down and think about all of the things that I've done this year. And I had a really intense summer, and we did
Okay.
7 institutes at my job. And before then, you know, there were some book chapters and some other sort of things that I've been able to sort of get out this year. And so, but when I sat down and listed all out, you know, timeline wise, like month to month, I saw that from about March to August, I was very like working intensely, And so she, you know, we looked at my list and it was just like, look at what you sort of like, you had a very full mid-year. And so if at the end of November, going into December, you are struggling to concentrate, it is just your mind sort of winding down from all of the intensity that you put it through, sort of maintaining your mid-year productivity. And so she was like, you know, keeping track and keeping record, it's not just for like bragging rights, but it's also to really log, just kind of how we do a food journal or anything. You keep in track of things because we do things on a day-to-day basis and you don't even realize how much energy you've expended or what was the toll or the price or the cost of you producing these things. And so we think about, we started a Patreon. We do these shows every week. We are now creating content, you know. There's, you know, our other jobs and responsibilities, our family responsibilities, the times we've had to kind of stop everything and take care of family stuff. Sitting down and really sort of processing and thinking about that really does show you, or it's kind of helped me to sort of expand my idea of productivity. And I'm seeing that productivity is not just, you know, how many papers I write or how many publications I have or how many lines I'm able to add to my CV, but there are other things that I have accomplished this year. And if I am tired, I have earned it. And
absolutely.
So there is, if I am struggling to concentrate or really trying to close things up, it's less about me sort of shaming myself for that, but more so thinking like, given the fact that I don't have a lot of energy or a lot of sort of mental bandwidth right now, how can I work around that? And what are the ways that I can optimize this time period so that when it's time for me to sort of get into my busy season again, I'm ready.
Absolutely.
And my second,
Yes, Black give us two.
Yes. And so if you have not, we now have 32 full days left in 2021.
Oof.
Literally 32 days. Not a lot of time.
2021.
Right. You know, we almost up out of here with 2021. So as we're winding down, I want to urge you all to take a look at your balances. You know, if you have flexible spending for your insurance, if there are things, you know, if you look at your calendars and your claim calendars and when you need to get your last, I had my physical last week. You need to get your appointments in before the end of the year. If you need to get contacts or eyeglasses, you make sure you did that. I had some flex spending money to burn. So I went down to the optical place and got myself some new glasses and some new readers. And so we're going to have some new glasses. And so, you know, just do all of that. Don't be like me, because every year I wait until about December 27th and realize that I got this much flex spending money to use. And I'm down to the Walgreens trying to buy up all the pads and vitamins with my flex spending. But don't do that. If you plan, you can use your flex spending and your benefits, and you can make sure that you get things that you need, things that you can, you know, if you got some flex spending money to burn and you wear contacts, call them people, order you up some contacts, girl. Just have you build you up a little storehouse of supply in your, so you don't have to, you know, go, you know, I'm just trying to help.
No, that's very helpful. Useful
helpful information.
Thank you so much. Not unsolicited and useless. My self-care this week. There was some of that, I'm sure, somewhere.
You did sit down after. You told me over the weekend.
I sat down after Thanksgiving. Yes, thank you. You just jogged my mind. I sat down the day after Thanksgiving and committed myself to doing absolutely nothing. And I literally did that. I ate and sat in the same spot on the couch. Crystal Jean and Asante both came over on the holiday and the day after. Crystal Jean sat on the floor and took her braids out, mm-hmm. and we ate leftovers and watched TV. And Crystal Jean and Asante left, and I still sat in that same location. So I afforded myself that, and also have a mass amount of work this week, especially with the year-end tie-up that we've been talking about, you know, just all the loose ends with companies and things like that. And so I committed myself to not responding to any of those emails until Monday morning. I said, you know, we have already solidified dates and things that things will be done and deadlines before the holiday. I don't have to answer these things until Monday morning. So that's what I did, and I committed myself. And then I saw a meme where somebody was like, ah, you better not answer them emails. Mm-hmm. And I was like, see, good reminders, because I didn't. And yeah, that was my self-care. That was my self-care. See, I did something. Let's move on to these petty peeves, though, because that is a heap.
Okay, it sounds like you're ready.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
Oh, it's time for the petty peeves. And I don't think this is so petty, but it is my peeve. So Thanksgiving, I'm hosting, you know, and doing the cooking and getting myself super prepared. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I know y'all be having thoughts about my timeliness and whatnot. Because, you know, niggas be talking, and that's fine. As Kia said, they have 10 years of my patterns down their throat, so it's all good. But niggas can change. What do we call that? Growth. So here I was, all set for a 4 o'clock start time for Thanksgiving. A nigga even sprung forward and said, I'm going to make some deviled eggs so niggas can nosh before we eat. And then that morning, Tristan discovers that the ceiling is very wet and leaking and threatening to cave. So we had to get an emergency plumber on Thanksgiving to come in and bust open the ceiling and bust open the neighbor's floors where the pipe was leaking down into our apartment. And it was so bad that it was from 2 floors up, actually. So thank God we caught it when we did, and that they, you know, came and fixed it so fast. And I spoke to Kia that day, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity that for safety, and that, you know, we was good, and that, you know, we still gonna have Thanksgiving. She goes, that's right. And she told me, you know, reiterated all of that. But nigga, I was irritated because I was like, of all the days of days, you gonna come. And it's not even just that it was just the ceiling and it was just Thanksgiving. It was the fact that you fucked up my timing, because I was set for this 4 o'clock and you came and you fucked up my timing, ceiling pipe. And so that is actually the petty in my petty peeve.
I know that.
But I'm grateful for safety. I'm grateful for contractors who do their jobs properly.
And that none of your things were damaged.
Nothing was damaged. Nobody was hurt.
Right.
We Gucci over here.
Gucci. Your boy Guap is in the lagoon. That's like my favorite Gucci. I have that saved in my phone. When he was in that,
in the hot spring or
in
whatever.
In the hot springs. He was like, your boy Guap is in the
Gucci,
lagoon.
The Gullagoon.
I said, yes, Gucci.
You know I'm a Gucci evangelist. You know I am.
I know you are. I know this is very important to you.
Near and dear. What's your petty peeve?
My petty peeve. Okay. Okay. And so my petty peeve is I'm going to try to figure out how to say this very, I don't want to offend anybody, right? I wish that, you know, there are people who, so I understand that people who have pets, y'all love y'all pets, right? We respect that pets are a part of your families.
Yeah.
And we respect that your pet, you know, your home is your pet's home, and we respect that. And so my petty peeve is for the pet people who do not respect that I am not a pet person. And when I say that, I mean, like, there's always like a dismissive. So like, you know, I'll say like, you know, I don't really pet, you know, I don't really do the animals, and people kind of shrug it off and say things like, oh, you'll love Roxy. No.
Yeah. I'll probably be guilty.
I probably won't. Or they'll say things like, you know, don't mind my Doberman.
Okay, wait, hold on. Now that's different.
This is a very, like, it's just a very casual.
No, but like, this is cool, Joe.
Dismissing, like, if whatever I say, if I say I don't like animals, I don't like dogs, I don't like cats, there is always this like, oh well, like, yes, you do. Oh, it's just fine. Like, and that really does burn my biscuits. And if I say that I don't like dogs or I don't like cats, your dog and your cat is not an exception. Contrary to popular belief, I know that you got a dog, you just got him, you excited, you psyched, you pumped, you are pressed. You and this dog are into each other, enjoying life, and I get that, and I'm happy for the both of you. But don't bring me into it. And when I say I'm good, let me be good. Don't try to convince me that your dog is different from all the other dogs, or your cat is different from all the other cats. And if I say, no, she's not. And if I say, out of respect for the fact that you're a pet person, your house is a pet home, and that home is your pet's home. If I say that I'm not coming, or I'm not petting, or I'm not sitting over there by your poodle.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Let me be me. Like, let me do what I have to do to keep my nerves together. Right? But y'all know, like, you know, y'all don't let, as much as the non-pet people try to respect the pet people, I just don't feel like that respect. But your roommate
had a dog, and I feel like you did well with that dog.
I feel like what you don't know about that situation is that it took time for me to get to a place. So I've never been a dog person, but I did for a time live with someone who owned a dog. And she will tell you that it was not a pleasant time for the first few months, because I really had to work hard to be okay with this. And then
I did see Kia drive away at 2:00 in the morning. Period. I'll do it again. Because the Airbnb had a cat.
And I'll do it again. And so I think people.
I mean, I don't send you cute pictures of Trill.
No. And I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying, like, I'm saying, you know, like, you walk around the neighborhood, you see people, and like, I went to a neighbor's house recently, and you know, I said that I wasn't a dog person, and you know, they seemed upset that the dog. Like, you know, they agreed, you know, they took the dog upstairs, but and the dog was like barking or upset that it was being.
Oh, Mr. Mowgli.
No. It wasn't them. But like, the dog was whimpering, crying. I don't know what dogs do. The dog was upset that it was in the room. And they just kept, you know, running. And I was like, listen, I'll leave. Let that dog out. This is his house. I'll go.
See, that's the attitude I like, because a lot of times I'm like, can you put your animal up? I'm like, now wait a minute.
No, because they I recognize that's Trill's house. And if she want to be free to walk around her house,
I think that's the respectful line.
My place to say that Trill got to go up. But when it's time for me to go.
No, that's fair. I think that's more than fair.
That's all I'm saying. I just want the respect to be reciprocal. And I feel like as a non-pet person, I try to respect people with pets, but I don't always feel like people with pets try to respect me when I say, I'm good. No, you're going to love Chip. No.
No.
I might tolerate Chip. I might, you know, but I'm not going to be running up and putting Chip in my lap. I'm not going to be jazzed about him jumping. You know what I'm saying? Like, I will get to the place where I can, you know, and I might even, if I'm inclined, if I feel comfortable enough, I might, I'm not there with cats, but I might engage your dog a little bit. But let me get to the place where I'm comfortable.
Don't force.
Don't expect or force or shame me if I'm not. Yeah. It's all I'm asking.
No, that's fair.
That's all I'm asking. Okay. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. She's like, and that is another episode of Get and Grow. Thank you so much for listening. You want to take us out?
Yo, okay. So as you are preparing for the end of 2021, we want to remind you that it's important for you to moisturize your mind by minding your business. We talked at length about that today.
Yeah.
I mean, hold tightly to the intention to mind your business, because that is how you take care of your mind and moisturize your mind. You want to moisturize your skin because Kevin Durant is not. Just kidding.
Woo!
You want to moisturize your skin.
Crocodile.
We love Kevin Durant. But the thing is, though, lotion is a very important part of everybody's daily practice of moisturization. We have to do that.
Yeah, this nigga hasn't lotioned in years.
Ooh, it's really, it looked painful.
And then you're going to come through and be like, now I'm about to pull the y'all broke card. Nigga, we broke. You about to break because you are ashy boots.
It's scary.
You're about to fall apart. I'm so sorry. Continue.
Yes, indeed. And then you absolutely want to moisturize your insides by drinking the Lord's water.
Yes.
Because all of that will crack when it's dry. I said that all out of order, but God bless.
It's fine. I literally just drooled on myself. Bye.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.